and repairs when necessary. You're worried about the radiation shielding. Everly looked blank for a fleeting moment, then nodded vigorously. Precisely. If the superconducting shield fails, we'd all be exposed to dangerous levels of radiation, wouldn't we?
Dangerous? Timoshenko almost smiled.
Lethal, more likely.
So, you can see what an important job this is.
But isn't Aronson in charge of maintenance? He's doing a decent job.
It's too big a job for him, Everly said. I'm getting complaints daily about electrical power failures, mechanical breakdowns, things that shouldn't be happening but are. It's only minor, of course, but it's irritating. Our facilities should be running much more smoothly than they are.
Timoshenko said, That's why you have a maintenance department, to take care of such problems.
Yes, I know, but the responsibility for exterior and interior maintenance is too much for one person, Everly went on. I've decided to split the maintenance department into two groups, interior and exterior. I want you to head the exterior section.
Timoshenko sank back in the armchair. Why is he doing this? He wondered. What's he up to? He's a slippery one, and he doesn't do things out of the goodness of his soul. Or for the good of the habitat, either, for that matter.
Yet a voice in his head countered, It's a responsible position. It's a necessary task, you know that. Ice and rock chunks are pinging this eggshell all the time. We've got to be able to repair any damage they do.
It's better than sitting around and doing nothing, Everly coaxed.
That's true enough, Timoshenko muttered. It's a very important position. Lots of responsibility.
Do you think you're up to it?
Timoshenko felt a jolt of anger flare inside him, but he suppressed it and said merely, I can handle it.
You'll do it, then. Feeling that he was being maneuvered, but not knowing why or how to get out of it, Timoshenko shrugged heavily and said, Okay, I'll do it.
Good!
Everly shot to his feet and extended his hand across the desk. Timoshenko took it in his thick-fingered hand, careful not to grasp too tightly.
I'll tell Aronson about it, Everly said, smiling broadly. He'll be relieved.
Another drone, Timoshenko thought, as he left Everly's office. As his office door closed behind the engineer, Everly thought happily, That ought to keep him out of my hair. He'll be too busy with exterior maintenance to bother me, and the job's not so big or glamorous that it will draw attention to him. Aronson can concentrate on these niggling little complaints so things will be running smoother as we come up to the election.
Good.
As he left the administration building and stepped into the morning sunlight, Timoshenko thought,
Maybe he wants to get rid of me. Maybe he thinks I'll get myself killed outside. It could happen.
Holly heard light footsteps padding down the corridor around the corner. Must be Manny, she thought, but then they stopped. Stepping into the main corridor, she saw Gaeta peering at a wall screen map, tracing a finger across its screen. Manny, here we are, she called. Gaeta trotted to the two women. I got lost, he admitted sheepishly. I would have too, said Wonderly, if it weren't for Holly's photographic memory. At least I remember the combination, Gaeta said, tapping on the keyboard lock. The door popped slightly ajar, and Gaeta swung it all the way back. The overhead lights came on automatically in the bare little room. Before them stood the excursion suit that Gaeta had used for many of his daredevil stunts. It loomed over the three humans like Frankenstein's monster, like an inert robot, massive and intimidating. Hey, amigo, Gaeta said softly, as he stepped up to it and slid a hand along one of its dimpled cermet forearms. We've been through a lot, this suit and me, he murmured. A hell of a lot. Climbed Olympus Mons on Mars, Wonderly said. And skiboarded down the reverse slope, added Holly, and surfed Jupiter's cloud deck and skydived through Venus's clouds. What was the toughest stunt you did? Wonderly asked, her eyes glowing. Gaeta didn't hesitate an instant. The solo trek across Mare Imbrium. For a while there, I didn't think I was going to make it. And then you sailed through Saturn's B-ring, said Wonderly. And then I retired, Gaeta said firmly. As a stuntman. But you kept the suit, Holly pointed out. Why? I mean, if you've really retired, why not sell the suit to the highest bidder? Or give it to the Royal Museum, or the Smithsonian, or someplace? Gaeta pursed his lips before replying. I don't know. Sentimentalissimo, I guess. Like I said, this suit and I have been through a lot. Would you consider going through the rings again? Wonderly asked, all in a rush, as if afraid that if she hesitated, the words wouldn't come out. Gaeta stared at her. Is that what this is all about? You want me to dive through those Fregallo rings again? Would you? He shook his head. That stunt's been done. The second time isn't news anymore. That is a stunt, Wonderly said, as part of a scientific investigation this time.
Gaeta took a deep breath and let it out slowly. He had slept with both these women, and they both knew it. At last he answered, Couldn't do it even if I wanted to, Nadia. You'd need more than me in the suit. Fritz and the rest of my tech team are back on Earth, looking for a new guy to be their stunt gorilla. We have technicians here, Holly said. Engineers, too. We could put together a team for you. Gaeta shook his head. You can't cobble together a group of people just like that. It took years for Fritz and me to work out everything. You've got to be able to trust your techies when you put your life on the line.
But it's for science, Wonderly pleaded. We can train a team for you. You can pick whoever you want.
Nope. I'm retired. I found the life I want with the woman I want. I'm not going to risk that. Nadia's face flushed, and Gaeta realized he'd made a mistake mentioning Chris. I'm going to hear more about this, he knew. A lot more.
28 December, 2095. Urbane's office. It was a small office, barely large enough for the stylish teak desk with its built-in computer and phone console. Urbane had locked himself in and cranked the reclinable chair back almost as far as it could go. He needed a few hours of quiet with no disturbances. He needed time to clear his mind and think. The situation was maddening. All the telemetry data showed that Titan Alpha is performing normally, except for the sensor data uplink. Is something wrong with the uplink antenna? No, that couldn't be. The telemetry data show the antenna is undamaged. Habib and his computer people believe there might be a bug in the software. Or could it be something else? Something we haven't thought of yet. He leaned back in the softly yielding chair and stared at the ceiling. The ceiling stared back, smooth and blank. No help there, Urbane thought. His entire staff of engineers was running through every possible permutation in Alpha's programming, with the scientists leaning over their shoulders and making 50 suggestions per minute. At this rate, he thought, one of the engineers is going to attack one of the scientists, and I'll have a brawl on my hands. How Eberly will enjoy that. I'll be humiliated all over again. Urbane snapped forward in his chair and told the computer to display the satellite's view of Alpha's landing site. The opposite wall of the office seemed to disappear, replaced by a real-time view of Titan's murky, orange-tinted clouds. Infrared view, he commanded. The clouds vanished, and he could see the rugged, broken surface of Titan and the lopsided shape of the lazy HC. Locate Alpha. A pinpoint of red light began to blink on the shore of the frozen sea. Maximum magnification. The view zoomed in, but stopped well short of allowing him to see the lander. The camera's resolution is 50 meters at the altitude of the synchronous satellite, Urbane recited to himself. We need satellites in lower orbits. He knew it would take a fleet of at least 6 satellites to keep the landing site under constant observation. This one bird in synchronous orbit was too far away to be of real value. Besides, it was eating up fuel to remain on station. The perturbations jostling and out of position were severe. Everything works except the sensor uplink, he repeated to himself. Why? Why? Then he thought, If everything else works...